Good evening, everybody. Happy that you're here. Delighted that you've come out tonight. What a blessing it is to be able to come out and to learn a portion of God's Word. We have been studying and looking at the eternal plan. Make sure I'm doing this right. I must be going the wrong way. There it is. Okay. I got Sunday morning clicker mixed up with Wednesday night clicker. So, but anyway, we've been looking at the eternal plan. And a key passage that we have been honing in on is here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Peter writes and he shares with us, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." And that he that was foreordained before the foundation of the world is Jesus Christ. He was indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world to save man from his sins. We've also been looking at the Bible and the various periods through Bible history. And those periods are, thus far, we've looked at the antediluvian period, the post-diluvian period, the patriarchal period, Egyptian bondage, the wilderness wanderings, the conquest of Canaan, and tonight we are going to be looking at the judges, the period of the judges. And guys, in 6 weeks, we've covered a lot. We've covered a great deal. In those periods that we've looked at, though, we have been looking for God to reveal to us and show us His plan to redeem us. In every single period that we have looked at, God has indeed done that. God has revealed, whether it be through a passage, whether it be through a figure, a shadow, something, an image, where God is revealing to us His plan to redeem man. When we talk about the book of Judges, one can become very discouraged when reading the book of Judges, especially when you make a transition from the book of Joshua to the book of Judges. But when we're looking at the main periods of the judges of Israel, from the beginning of the judges, you go to the United Kingdom, and it covers Judges chapter 1 through 1 Samuel chapter 8. And that's what we're going to get through tonight and look at the highlights, the main points. And we see the various judges. Othniel and Judges in chapter 3 and verses 7 through 11. Ehud and Judges 3 and 12 through 30. Shamgar and Judges 3, 31. Deborah and Judges 4 and 5. And Gideon and Judges 6, 7 and 8. We see Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 7 through 8. And the book of Ruth should be studied here as well. And we're not going to hit on every single judge in detail. Some of them, there's just not a whole lot that is said. But you guys remember the last time we were together when we looked at the conquering of Canaan by Israel. It was a great period as we went through the book of Joshua. It was a period of great faith. Well, when we come to the book of Judges, if you've had an opportunity to read the book of Judges, it's a very dark period. Total opposite, isn't it? Okay? And that's why I was trying to say, as far as my lead on this, was that you can become very discouraged. Disappointed, maybe is a better word. Extremely disappointed in God's people. Because you see them throughout the book of Joshua saying, everything that God says, we'll do. And for the most part, except You do have Achan, you know, who decided to go off the reservation and do his own thing, okay? But other than that, the Israelites were pretty well committed to God. And at the end of the book of Joshua, God is rewarding them, and He is giving them, He's doling out His promise to them, the promised land. And He is giving them their lands that they have inherited through their faithfulness and their loyalty to God. The period began, though, if you read the book of Judges, it begins with compromise, which leads to chaos, which then leads to just total, utter confusion. But you know what? There's a ray of hope. Even though God's people, they mess up, and they fall short, and they cry out to God for deliverance, and they cry out to God for help, did God help them? He did. Okay? Judge, you see, the word judge also means deliverer, savior. Okay? It took a while. Okay? It wasn't immediate. Okay? But you know what? They remained in sin for a long time too. Okay? I don't know about how it was in your house, but if I did something wrong, you know, I was sent off and I was allowed to think about what I did that was wrong for a while. Okay? So, you know, God did intervene and God did help them. When we look at this period, guys, Israel had broken the backbone of their resistance when they're in the book of Judges, the first chapter there. They're beginning to go in and gain their appointed lands. At first in the book of Judges, it looks good. Judah and Simeon, they go in and they conquer and divide. They do exactly as God says. But when you continue to read the book of Judges, you begin to see compromise. For example, Benjamin in chapter 1 and verse 21. They did not drive out the inhabitants of their allotted land. Manasseh in chapter 1 and verse 27 did not drive out the inhabitants of their allotted land. Ephraim in chapter 1 and verse 29 did not drive out the Canaanites. Asher in chapter 1 and verse 31 did not drive out their inhabitants. Naphtali did not drive out their... Dan, they did not drive out. As a matter of fact, they were driven out into the mountains. Zebulun in chapter 1 and verse 30. God specifically told them to go in, divide and conquer. This is your land. You're not to make alliances. You're not to form leagues. You're not to make any associations with these pagans. And there was a reason for it. Okay? Now, we're beginning to see what happened as a result of them making leagues with, alliances with these pagans, and hence the consequences. Okay? The period of Judges is looked at and can be defined as cycles. There are various cycles that they go through. And we're going to look at these cycles in just a little bit. I want someone to read a passage for me, though. And it's at the end of the book of Judges. Actually, I want someone to read, and it's just a verse. Someone to read Judges chapter 21, verse 25. Judges 21, verse 25. Who's got it? Go ahead, Austin.
In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes.
Wow. Okay, there was no king in Israel. Okay. Now, we notice, guys, tonight, before we get out of the book of Judges and we make our way into the book of 1 Samuel, okay, what are they clamoring for?
Amen.
They're clamoring for a king. Why? We want to be like everybody else, right? All right? We want to be like everybody else. But by the time we look at the entire book of Judges, guys, they had become, God's people had become very spiritually dysfunctional. Okay? Very spiritually dysfunctional. What changed? Because there's a drastic change. I'm asking you. I want input from you on this. What changed from the book of Joshua? Joshua's dead now. Joshua's dead when he's passed on. Okay? Think about the backdrop to this. They're not all under the same tent anymore. They've all dispersed to their own little allotted lands. And it's just like, things fell apart. What do you think happened, though? Was God any different? God's still God, isn't he? What about God's law? Had God's law changed? God's law hadn't changed, had it?
The leaders of the sects had their own agenda.
Ooh, you might be onto something there.
They compromised.
They compromised,
over
okay?
Over and over again, they compromised.
Okay, so we got compromise, okay? Compromise, guys, that's a soft way of basically saying we're not doing what God tells us to do.
That's right.
We're not going to do what God tells us to do. Okay, that's called sin, okay? All right? Someone else, go ahead, Amanda. Let's take a vote here. Do we need to do this? No. Okay, we're not going to do it. We're a law unto ourselves. You know, we're just kind of a law unto ourselves.
No, I think Amanda's point was that they didn't kill the inhabitants like they were supposed
to. Well, that's true.
So those people had some opportunity
they had influence on them
to participate in the process, and they shouldn't have even been there.
Right. Your voice and your vote doesn't count. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't even be here. But we don't have the faithfulness and the backbone to do what God tells us to do, so now we got a problem. Okay? And to get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when Paul talks about a little leaven leavens the whole lump, now you got a problem. You start compromising sin here, you got to compromise it everywhere. Because it starts to adversely affect everybody and everything. Okay? Okay. Those are great points. Dale.
They left the word of God and forgot about it.
Okay? Yeah, just forgot about God. You know? We're just kind of... As a matter of fact, guys, when we go through this, it is really heart-wrenching. Because in the book of Judges, we see that an entire generation of Israelites are now coming into picture who seem... It's almost as if God's word's foreign to them. It's true. Read it. You know, it has been said before, the church is only one generation away from apostasy. And that book right there is a testimony to it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, it's almost like today, you know, we kind of see some of the coming up generations, you know, if we don't teach them how we need to be teaching them, they're going to be that one generation away. And that's what happened here. It's almost as if the people that were the generation after, you know, they weren't, they weren't, you know, connected tight enough to hold strong when they were separated.
You know, I was reading something today. I don't know. I might as well share it with you because we might not be meeting on Sunday. So based upon the weather. But, you know, I was reading something today in the book of Jeremiah. And what's interesting is when you read the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1 and chapter 2, God intended for his people to have a legacy, a heritage. God intended for his people to have a godly heritage. And you go back and read Moses' speech to the Israelites, his sermon, in the book of Deuteronomy, okay, chapter 6, okay? Moses is in 7. He's telling, you know, the elders in the families to teach your little ones, your young ones, when you're sitting down, when you're standing up, when you're walking by the way. God intended for them and God intends for us, you know, to have a godly heritage. Look, folks, the church is made up of families. The church is made up of families, okay? Delbert, did you have your hand up? Go ahead.
If somebody came into this church building and propped something off the wall, we would jump up and down. And I don't think that's what happened back here. It was a slow process.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit here. And if they said that, they would go just a little bit farther, a little bit farther. We read in here that they were doing all right, and then they're bad. So it doesn't fit into there. It doesn't
right.
say that. But I'm sure it happened a little at a time, just like it is today.
And that was the word Don used earlier, compromise. And you compromise. And you compromise. And you compromise. Right? I'm going to read this to you guys. I want you to listen carefully to this. This is from Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 19, taking some of the stuff out, but you know, some of the passages skipped over a little bit of them here so we can get to this. But it says, the people, listen carefully, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived them. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. There it is. It's in your Bibles. It's right there. Okay? A new generation came along that was disconnected spiritually. Okay? An identity. Okay? From the Lord and from Joshua, the leaders. David, you had mentioned leaders. I thought that was a good point, was the fact that they're dispersed. And it's like, unless you have a good, strong spiritual leadership, they're going to do, as we see at the end of Joshua chapter, or Judges chapter 21, verse 25. We're just going to do what we feel is right. Okay? And that's what you got. Going on. It says, they followed and they worshiped various gods of the people around them. They provoked the Lord to anger. In his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them. They were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of those raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods, and they worshiped them. Unlike their fathers, they quickly turned from the way in which their fathers had walked. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge, and he saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord had compassion on them, and they groaned under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to the ways even more corrupt than those of their fathers. They refused to give up their evil practices and their stubborn ways. And that's why I was trying to say, when you read the book of Joshua, and you come and you read something like what I just read, how can you not be disappointed and discouraged? I'm like, what's up? What? But you know what? It's not just there. It's today too. It's today too. Dale?
How many generations are we away from losing?
Well, that's the point here.
And it really worries me to death when you talk to teenagers and stuff like that, the little knowledge that they know. I asked a class one time, quote me Acts 2:30 ahead, no idea what it said. That's scary. That is really scary. They're not getting taught somewhere.
The prophet Hosea, God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But you know what else you're going to be destroyed for? Having the knowledge and doing nothing with it. That's another side to that as well. Okay. Let's go through this. The first nation was subject to Israel was Aram-Naharaim, who was the king of Cushan-Rishathaim. I'm not saying it again. Israel remained captive for 8 years and cried out to God for deliverance. They're captive 8 years. Okay. God, he heard their cry. He rose up a judge, Othniel, Caleb's younger brother, to deliver them. And the land rested for 40 years. Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. When Israel turned again to the evil ways, God gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel. 18 years, Judges chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. The Moabites were descendants of Lot by incest. That had to be a unique family reunion. The Moabites were descendants of Lot by incest with their older daughter. Genesis chapter 19, verses 30 through 37. When Israel had learned her lesson, she cried out to God, who raised up a left-handed Benjamite by the name of
Ehud.
There you go. To deliver Israel. Ehud assassinated Eglon. Now that's an interesting story. Have you read it recently? Eglon? Doesn't just sound like Jabba the Hutt. You know? I mean, Eglon, he was a very large, obese king. You remember the story, right? Okay? He went to bring his tribute to the king. Okay? He says, I have a secret. I want to tell you a secret. He dismissed all of his magistrates from his chamber. Everybody leave. Tell me the secret. And he takes a dagger out. And it's gory, guys. This is the stuff where movies come from. You know, it goes, it says it went into his fat and his entrails fell out. Okay? I'm just telling you what the script says. Okay? But, you know, again, you know, the land had peace for 8 years. Judges chapter 3, verses 15 through 29. The third judge or savior of Israel was Shamgar, who slew 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Shamgar died, and his influence with him. The result, the Canaanite king, Jabin, and his general, Sisera, subdued Israel for the next 20 years, subjecting them to cruelty. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. This time, God used two women, along with Barak, to deliver Israel. Jael, okay, the name probably rings a bell, and the prophetess Deborah, okay? Now, ladies, go to Judges chapter 4, and you write at the top of it, girls rule and boys rule. Because it's all about woman power in Judges chapter 4, okay? Barak, after he was told by Deborah, hey, this is what God is saying we got to go do. Well, I'll go do it, but I'm not going to go without you. And she says, if I go with you, you know what? You're not gaining credit by all by yourself. Credit's going to be given to a woman. Now, you want to be for her. Be for Deborah, okay? And then here's Deborah and here's Jael. The commander of the army makes his way back to the camp. And she calls him in and says, oh, my Lord, I'm thirsty. He was being in pursued. Come on into my tent. She puts a blanket around him, gives him some milk, and says, well, it's okay. And he gets calm and relaxed. Do you remember what she did? You remember what Jael did?
She drove a stake through the temple.
She did, didn't she? She put a spike right into his forehead and nailed that thing. Okay? But, you know, girls rule, boys drool. Judges chapter 4. Sarah fled on foot and to a tent belonging to a Kenite, a descendant of Moses, his brother-in-law, Jael, the wife of the Kenite. She was Sisera. She gave Sisera some milk. He went to sleep, and I just explained all that to you. The land saw 40 years of peace. The Midianites were the next nation to conquer Israel. They did evil, the Israelites did. In the eyes of the Lord. The oppression lasted 7 years. Chapter 6, verse 1. When Israel realized her folly, she was first reminded of her evil doings by a prophet. The angel of the Lord appeared to a man by the name of Gideon. All right? And he was so excited that he even wrote a Bible and he says, I want to make sure this is put in every hotel room to the end of time. So, but Gideon, okay, I want to share something with you guys. When we're looking at Gideon, this passage I want to share, this is inspiring to me. And I want you guys to see it as well. So I'm going to read Judges chapter 6. And I want us to see Judges chapter 6. Verses 11 and 12.
Now the angel of the Lord came and said under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon thrashed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.
Okay, anybody see anything here in this story? These two verses that's like, huh.
He's hiding in a wine press, threshing grain so that the oppressors won't get it, and he's called a mighty man of valor.
That's it. You know, here he is threshing wheat in a wine press. Guys, FYI, you don't thresh wheat in a wine press, okay? But to read prior to that, you were seeing the Midianites, they were coming in, and they were just destroying their produce, taking everything that belonged to God's people, okay? And he's trying to hide it. He's hiding himself. And here's God coming along, an angel of the Lord, God sharing with Gideon, and he's hiding, and he calls him a mighty man of what?
Valor.
And you've heard me say this different times. I thank God that God sees me for what I can become and not for the loser that I feel like I am most days. Okay? And the same thing can be said for any of us and all of us. When we just feel like, you know, I don't serve a part. I don't have a role to play. I'm a no man. I'm a no woman. Okay? I think of this passage where God says, oh, wait a minute. I can and I will do great things in and through you. Just let me. Just let me. Did God use Gideon?
Oh, yeah.
You better believe he did. He went to war with the Midianites and Amalekites. Israel had an army of 32,000 men. And instead of them being able to boast about their accomplishments, and guys, you see this throughout the scriptures, the army was whittled down to 300 soldiers. 300. Now, in the Valley of Jezreel is where this happens. You remember the story there in the book of Judges, where Gideon and his army began to clang bang and make noise, and the Midianites and the Amalekites thought that they were surrounded on every corner, and it created a frenzy. And you remember what they did? They took out their swords and they started doing what?
Killing each other.
Knocking one another off. Okay? How many times, though, seriously, how many times have we seen God devise a plan where God's people will go conquer a territory, and the script that maybe you and I would set down and say, okay, here's what we got to do. We've got to have air support, David. You know, we've got to have air support. All right? We just got to. Okay? And we need some troops on the ground too. You know, let's get a few amphibious vehicles out here because I don't know. You know, if we're scripting this thing, and here's God every time taking something that is large, that is big, and whittling it down. Jericho! How did God knock Jericho off? Do you remember how that was when Joshua goes into Jericho?
Just marched around the city.
Yeah, just marched around a total of 13 times. Okay? Blow your trumpets and shout. Shout to the Lord. In Shawnee, Ohio, the first congregation that I preached for, during our vacation Bible school, our theme was that episode there in Jericho where the kids would march. And I remember that to this day. We had this huge wall built up that just looked like what would be Jericho. And, you know, the kids were marching and all of them were marching. And I said, okay, shout. And they all screamed. Nothing happened. I said, you didn't shout loud enough. Man, they raised the roof off that church building the second time. And all of a sudden, someone back with broomsticks is knocking at them. You know, it's all, the kids were like, it worked! It works! You know, the parents were wondering why their kids went home and were screaming. You know, but anyway. So, you know, but I'm just trying to let you guys see that, man, God's plan is so perfect. And that's what he's trying to share with them here, is the fact that he whittled an army of 32,000 down to 300. Gideon was asked to rule over Israel and to begin a dynasty. He would not. However, 40 years later, following his death, one of his sons killed all, but one of Gideon's sons had persuaded the people to make him ruler. He ruled for 3 years, and civil war erupted, resulting in the death of Abimelech. When a woman dropped a millstone on his head. Okay. Damn. Girl power again. Okay. Okay. Again, the Israelites did evil. And because the Israelites forsook the Lord, he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites, who that year shattered and crushed them. Chapter 10, verses 6 through 8. The Amorites were descendants of Lot by his younger daughter. Israel's subjugation lasted 18 years. Guys, now look at this. Isn't this like a broken record? I mean, it's like a broken record. You even look tired listening to me. Okay? But remember we started out with there's a cycle. Okay? There's a cycle. At what point do you buy a clue and say, you know what, that was pretty stupid. You know? I think we're going to be faithful to God. You know? And we're going to do what God says. Again and again and again, we see this stuff. God's people, repeating the vicious cycle, cry out to God, and he And he used a social outcast, Jephthah, to rescue his people in chapter 11, verses 1 through 12. He judged Israel for 6 years. The author of Judges gives little space to the activities of Israel's next three judges in chapter 12, verses 8 through 15. Every time I see this name, I want to say Ibanez, and it's not. I'm thinking of guitars. Ibzan, okay? They were Ibzan, who ruled 7 years, Elon, who ruled 10 years, and Abdon, who ruled 8 years. The only names missing here are ebony and ivory. Just kidding. Then Samson arrived on the scene, okay? Israel sinned against God, still young. Still having to learn their lesson. Now, let's talk about Samson. Okay, he was a Nazarite. Right? He was a Nazarite.
Yeah.
All right. When we look at his life, okay, there's some things there that were pretty interesting about Samson. For example, chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, he was very strong physically. Okay? He was likely good looking, and he showed great courage. Chapter 14, verses 5 through 6. But his character was flawed. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, he wanted things done his way. It's my way or no way. He showed bad judgment in chapter 14, verses 1 through 2, and he was personally vengeful in chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And he also, in chapter 16, verses 4 through 17, flirted with temptation. Okay? Leave that Delilah girl alone, Samson. Okay? And you can see them, guys, when you go back and you read Judges chapter 16, you know, she's trying to entice him and find out what is the secret to your strength. And he would lead her on. Oh, you know, if you just put 7 bow ties around me and tie me up, then I won't be able to get out. It's kind of, they're flirting. Guys, I don't know if you see that or not. They are really flirting with one another. Okay? But she finally got to him. Okay, he finally told her. I'm a Nazarite. The key, the secret to my strength, to my power, is Lloyd's hair. I mean, my hair.
Your hair.
My hair. That's right. And you know, you remember what happened? Got a haircut. They gouged his eyes out. They shackled him, chained him. There was a feast to Dagon. He is the grain god. At the temple. It was so crowded. And he asked, if you'll just leave me so I can stand between these beams. And what they forgot was, I think it's verse 26 of that chapter 16. They forgot something. He was still a young man. He didn't need Rogaine. Guess what would happen?
Hair grew back.
His hair grew back. Duh. Who didn't get that memo? Okay? Someone missed it. Right? And you remember what he did? Stands in between these beams, these portals, and he pushes. And the whole place comes tumbling down. Okay? And Samson asks, let me die with them. You know, man, what a touching story. You know, but you know, our hearts are, you know, I had a friend who made up a song about Samson. And I won't sing it for you, but I'll give you the words. You remember the achy, breaking heart? Who was that? Who sang that?
Billy Ray Cyrus.
You know, don't break my heart, my achy, break. I had a friend who made up a song. And he says, if Samson would have written this song, it would have gone like this. Don't cut my hair, my long and stringy hair. I just don't think you'll understand. And he went on, added words to it. If you cut my hair, my long and stringy, God might grow up and kill this man. You know, so it was a real good Southern Ohio song. You know, we make up songs like that. We got some free time down there. So, but anyway, here's Samson. You know, they cut his hair. I'm sorry, I digress. So after some time, let's go on. Let's look at Samson was followed by a priest and a judge by the name of Eli. in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 18. We are introduced to a couple, Elkanah and Hannah. Okay? And they had a little boy. And what was his name? Samuel. All right? You remember Samuel? And that story is touching, guys. Go back and you read in 1 Samuel and the story between Elkanah and Hannah. And that story as that unfolds. How Hannah wanted so desperately to have a child. And she prayed and she prayed. Her husband, you know, guys, when you don't know what to say, just don't say anything at all. You know, because, you know, he just tried to comfort her. And the more he kept talking, the worse it would get. Okay, just shut up, you know. And so, but finally God answered their prayers. And you know what she did? She says, God, the deal she made with God was, you give me a child and I'll give him right back to you. You know, in a, I guess, a non-formal way, shouldn't that be our prayer with all of our children when they're born? I want him, I want her to grow up and be your servant. And we live like it. We raise them in an environment, we raise them in such a way that we commit them to God. Okay? So this, guys, this is the story with regards to the judges, and we made our way through. Actually, the book of Ruth, I've got this up here, that should be studied as well. But I want us to move on.
You got the wrong button.
Wrong way! No, the right way. God's plan to redeem man, although it might be hard to see and identify, however, it is a shadow of what was to come for mankind. Remember, when we talk about judges, the Hebrew word for judge is shofetim, and it is equivalent to deliverer, savior. Okay, who's our deliverer? Who's our savior? Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. In Luke chapter 14, verses 18 through 19. John chapter 8, verse 36. Jesus has come to set us free from sin. Okay? Again, it doesn't need to be just this. There's other things that you can look to, and you can say, you know, this is kind of an image. This is a message that when I'm reading the book of Judges, where I see God performing something, doing something, that it reminds me of what God has done for me and you through Christ, okay? Placing us into his kingdom. Now, you guys have this map right here, okay? This is important, okay? This is where we're going to finish this up. I believe, because I have used this, and we're going into greater detail than what you would in a study with someone with a sheet like this, okay? But again, from creation to judgment, Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. Do you want to be free? Absolutely. Okay? Do you want to be a truth seeker? Absolutely. I'm a truth seeker. Let's see what God's word, his truth says about his plan. God's eternal plan in 1 Peter 1, verse 20. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, Jesus was. So we go from creation and we make our way up to where every story, guys, we have covered. And you look at this, leaders. I have leaders up here. And what is, in parentheses, again?
Faith.
Now, I realize when you're looking at this, you say, wait a minute. Man, when I'm looking at Joshua, okay, I get it. I see faith. But whenever I come over and I look and I'm looking at the book of Judges, I'm not so sure I see faith. But you do with the leaders, right? As a matter of fact, you go back and you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, okay? And some of the very characters that we talked about tonight, they're there. You know, we have not gotten off that passage. That book, that topic of faith and works, since we started this stuff. You understand that? We have not moved off of that. And when we come over and we look at Genesis 1 through 5, and we see the world just gone crazy with sin, God still rescues us, saves us through a man of faith who did exactly what God told him to do. We see a nation developing in Genesis in chapter 12 with Abraham, a man of faith, who did exactly as God instructed him to do. After the patriarchs, we see characters like Joseph, who had faith in God. We see Moses coming into view. Moses gave God some excuses, didn't he, at first? I can't serve. You're going to have to send someone else. But his fears were overcome with faith. And then we see God giving him the law, giving Israel the law. As we discussed before, guys, with regards to the law. Why have law? Well, for one thing, it exposes us. We're not perfect. Okay? We need law. Okay? It is our schoolmaster. Raymond mentioned that a couple weeks ago. It is our schoolmaster because Paul cited it in the book of Galatians to bring us to Christ. Ooh, we're making our way to the cross there. You see that? Right? So we have structure. We have law. And we have leaders. Leaders of faith. Dan.
If we don't have some rule of law, some boundaries, how are we supposed to know where the edge of the road is?
What happens is, Dan, you're right, is the passage we opened up with tonight was that when we abandon law, everyone just kind of does as he sees right in his own eyes. Well, I tell you what, if that's what we've come to, folks, be careful when you drive home tonight, because if someone doesn't want to obey the stop sign or the red light or the speed limit, we're in trouble. Okay? Dale.
We talked about the Old Testament as a school teacher. If you take this on the left-hand side and teach your basic arithmetic, and on the right-hand side you've got calculus, you don't jump into calculus. You start with something to lead up to it so they understand what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Begin where they are, right? Right? Guys, we're going to cover, Lord willing, the next time we're together, the divided kingdom. Okay? We're going to look at the divided kingdom. We'll cover passages 1 Kings chapter 11 through 2 Kings chapter 18, 2 Chronicles chapter 10 through chapter 32. I know that's a lot of reading, but we've got a week in between that time. Just read some things there. I count on you. I do. I rely on you to read this stuff. That way, if you see something there that you feel like, hey, this applies. You know, this is a biggie. We can't let this go. And let's discuss it, okay? We're covering a lot of territory. I realize it. But we're trying to really stay on course and see from beginning, from the very beginning to the very end, God has a plan to save man. And if you walk out of this class and say, he doesn't have a plan for me, he doesn't have a purpose for me, I have either failed as a teacher or you have failed as a student to listen to what God's Word is saying. Any comments, questions, thoughts, grunts, groans, complaints? Okay. All right. Thank you for your time and your attention. I appreciate it.
Outlines 1 through 6.
Okay. Outlines 1 through 6.
Thank you.
You got it.
Did you get yours back?